Mike Lukovich, thanks for having us, and welcome to A Closer Look.
Good day. Well, it's great to be here, Dennis. Thank you.
As we speak, the new edition of Charlie Hebdo, the first issue since the massacre, is out, and it's sold out immediately, some 50 times more circulation than they've ever had.
Right.
Did that surprise you at all?
No, I think that, you know, especially in Paris where the attack occurred, I think it was a way for people to show their solidarity. I mean, there's been various marches, and this was just another way that people could say, hey, you know, we're with you, and what happened is not what this culture, this society is all about.
Did it surprise you, though, that they put on the cover, once again, a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad?
No, I mean, that's kind of what they do. I mean, and it's, you know, for France is a little bit of a, you know, it's a different culture than the United States. They have free speech. But, you know, Paris is such a great place because there's so much diversity, and the lines that people can cross or not cross. I mean, there's just a lot more different opinions and even far-out opinions. And the thing about Charlie Hebdo, I hope I'm saying that correctly, is that they're slightly different than what I do. My job is to, at least I think my job is to have an opinion on something and try and get that opinion across in a cartoon, hopefully using humor or sarcasm. But my primary goal isn't to provoke people unnecessarily. If they get provoked because they get PO'd about a cartoon.
You do provoke people.
Yeah, no, I do, but I don't try to provoke them. I try and get my point out there.
That's interesting. It's never occurred to me that at some point you wouldn't be sitting there thinking as you're drawing something, boy, I hope this blanks people off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are times when I've thought, oh, this, I like this cartoon, and it makes me laugh because it'll...
This issue is so silly. Yeah. I really hope they get that. You've never said that?
No, I think it would be dishonest to say that I've never felt that way. But normally when I'm doing a cartoon, I just feel like I want to get my point out there. And if I can do it using humor or sarcasm, and if it makes people mad, I don't care. But it's all to make a point. Whereas I think that the Paris cartoonists at that particular weekly newspaper, I think their job was to just kind of provoke people and skewer sacred cows. And they did that very, very well. And there's a history in Paris, in France, of that kind of provocative commentary. So they were doing what they should have been doing, and I think that putting Muhammad on the cover after this terrorism, first of all, it just reaffirms their courage and shows that they aren't going to surrender to any extremist group, whether it's religious or political.
Have you ever been tempted to take an image that some folks consider sacred? Let's say it's the Prophet Muhammad or Jesus, as the South Park guys do.
Right.
Have you ever been tempted to do that?
You know, I've talked about this before. No. I mean, I have gotten cartoons that people react very strongly to and have gotten very angry about. You know, and I'm nominally Catholic. And during the pedophilia scandals, I was hitting the Catholic Church regularly. But I never was tempted to use Jesus in a cartoon because Jesus was not part of what was going on. And it would have just been if I had put Jesus in a cartoon and knocking the Catholic Church for the pedophilia scandal, that symbolism of using Jesus would have overwhelmed any message I was trying to get across. And so that's why I don't do it. I have put Jesus in other cartoons, but I'm not going to mock Jesus. I'm not going to mock the Prophet Muhammad. He wasn't the one that went in and killed these cartoonists. I don't do that. It's not to say that that they shouldn't be doing it. I mean, they have free speech, and every organization, whether it's religious or political, it's all mankind is involved. They all deserve to be mocked.
So it sounds like, though, you have kind of an internal censor about what lines you don't want to cross because of your own internal compass. Is that the right way of putting it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I you know, it's not about being scared or too cautious.
Because that was where I was going. Have you ever hesitated with your pen above the paper and said, you know, if I put this down here, somebody going to come after me?
No, and I've gotten threats for cartoons. That's part of the job description, I guess. And those are upsetting when you get stuff like that. But, you know, I'm not going to unnecessarily try and provoke someone or some institution. But if an institution or an individual has done something or is doing something that I think is wrong, I'm going to hit them. And many times I hit them hard. And that may make them upset, or it may make people that belong to, say, a group like the NRA, that I'm apparently on the NRA enemies list, which I think is great. And there are a lot of members that may not like to see their organization mocked or criticized, but that's just part of what the job is, and it's part of...
So you're saying if you can't play the game, don't go into the arena.
Yeah, but it's also part of being an American, having disagreements. You know, I visited the Pentagon during the Iraq War, and I met more than one general at the Pentagon who told me, you know, I don't agree with what you're saying often, but I will defend your right to say it. And that's really what America's all about. And so I'm going to say what I need to say, and I welcome people. I welcome their criticism. I mean, I get Facebook comments and, you know, Twitter comments from people. Sometimes it's name-calling. Other times it's just, you know, put-downs for whatever reason, mm-hmm. sarcasm. But I feel like, you know, if I can dish it out, I should be able to take it. And that's part of our free-willing culture, I think.
And none of those comments, criticisms, threats even, has ever made you afraid?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I can't remember. It's been a long time ago. But I got a call from a woman who threatened me. And for some reason, a woman threatened me. That did scare me. I was thinking, oh, my God. I don't know why. Maybe I just take a woman's threats more seriously than a man's. So I was really kind of watching my, you know, looking up and down the street as I was leaving the building after that.
Anybody in your family ever tell you, hey, you know, you might want to be careful?
You know, I'm sure my wife in the past has probably told me that, or has probably said something like, ooh, you know, maybe she shouldn't have done that one. But that's what's great about having an editor. You know, you wouldn't think that a cartoonist would like having an editor, but I do, because there are times when I'm looking at a cartoon, an idea, and I'll be focusing on that idea, and it'll seem fine to me, and then I'll show it to an editor, and the editor will say, oh, no, you can't do that. You know, people are going to think this. I compare it to looking at the word WHO, W-H-O. If you were to look at the word WHO, WHO, for like a half hour, pretty soon it would lose all meaning. You'd be thinking, what the hell does that mean? WHO, what is WHO? That's like an idea. I look at an idea for a long time, and pretty soon it kind of loses its punch or its meaning. And so it's always good to show an editor, because the editor can, with new eyes, can say, oh, yeah, I like that, or no, that doesn't work, or no, you know, that's going to really upset someone you don't want to upset.
When you first heard about the attack in Paris, what went through your mind?
You know, I just felt kind of sick about it. I mean, I just thought, not to denigrate cartooning, but cartoons are pictures, and pictures can be very powerful, but not to be killed over. I mean, you know, if these idiots thought that they were if they were such blasphemy to the prophet, you know, use more powerful words or more powerful images to get your point across. You just look like a bunch of lowlifes when you kill someone over that. It doesn't help your cause. You know, you're actually defaming the peaceful prophet Muhammad more than any cartoon could ever do. And so it just, you know, it made me sick, and it made me angry, and just a little depressed for the, you know, for humanity. I mean, how crazy people can be.
But you picked up your pen, and your cartoon was the famous one of the figure. Is it Liberty, I think?
Yeah, right.
Figure, the female figure of Liberty with the tricolor flag.
Right.
Leading a group of people armed with pencils.
Right, right. And
did
I,
that come to you right away?
No. Here's the thing. That day, the attacks happened, you know, in France and in Europe. They're like 6 hours ahead of us, time-wise. So I'm sitting there at my here at my desk and then going on Facebook, and I kept seeing these cartoons that cartoonists in Europe had already done hours ago, mm-hmm. reacting to the thing. And I kept looking at them and thinking, well, that's another avenue I can't go down. That idea is taken, so I can't do that. So I came up with a bunch of ideas that were kind of, I didn't really think were that fabulous, and I brought them into one of my editors at the end of the day, and I could just tell from his reaction, he said, oh yeah, this one's workable, which is usually means, well, it sucks, but you know, you can probably use it. But this often happens. I will sit all day trying to come up with an idea, and then I'll run out of time, and then just panic somehow just forces me to come up with something else. So I, you know, my family and I had been in Paris over Christmas, and I remembered seeing that painting, and it just hit me, and I thought, oh, I should do that. So then I, you know, I replaced the guns with pencils and just drew it as quickly as I could. We have new earlier deadlines of the paper, so I was just panicked. I was just drawing as fast as I could, but I got it done, and so that was the cartoon, the first cartoon that I did on that.
It's a great cartoon.
Thank you.
When you were looking, though, at the ones that had already come out from across the pond, there was one that I saw that struck me that had, you know, the two pencils in the air and the planes flying into it, and I thought, this looks really familiar, not because it's an image of 9/11, but because your very memorable 9/11 cartoon of the Statue of Liberty with a tear out of her eye.
Yeah.
And in her eyes, you see the reflection of the planes flying into the towers.
Right.
Did you have that thought when you saw that cartoon? You know, I drew something like that.
Yeah, no, because, you know, he had done it in a way that made it unique with the pencils as the Twin Towers. Actually, my reaction to that was thinking, oh, damn, I can't do that idea. Yeah, it was mainly just frustration and anger at the cartoonist for coming up with it instead of me.
How much competition is there over something like that?
You know, I don't know. I don't know how every other cartoonist handles something like that. In this case, you know, because
it goes out right away. I mean,
right.
Used to be, you might not see what Le Monde did
until
a day or two later, and if your idea happened to coincide with theirs, well, you know, that you didn't know. But
exactly.
Now,
that's the whole thing. It was like, you know, these cartoons are coming out as soon as the cartoonist finishes them, they're being posted, and people are seeing them, and so, you know, I didn't want to, you know, I couldn't. My dad in the past has come up with ideas, and they'll be perfectly great ideas, and I'll get angry at him too, not to his face, but I'll just think, damn, I wish I had thought of it, because I have a thing where I just, you know, I want to come up with something on my own, and there are times when I'll see that I've done a cartoon and then someone else has done it, and it just ruins my day. So, but you know, that happens.
As this goes forward, of course, no one knows what direction this will take.
Right.
But cartoonists are suddenly kind of at the forefront of a free speech movement right now. Mm-hmm. No one knows how long that will last. But do you feel any more of a sense of obligation or anything like that? Or are you just saying, you know, I'm just going to keep doing my job?
I think it's a bit of both. I think that I do feel a responsibility because cartoonists have unwittingly been brought into the spotlight with this whole thing. I feel like I want to try and do the best cartoons that I can. I always feel that way, though. I always feel an obligation not to phone something in. So I guess in that way, I'm just going to continue to do my job the best way that I can. But I'm aware that people are paying extra attention now.
Does that affect you at all?
No. Every day I still get nervous as it gets later in the day. I start to panic about my ideas. so that's not going to change. And I'm glad that I feel that way and that I've always felt that way. I would hate to be doing this job and not loving it, because it's a single cartoon each day, but it's a hard job, because you have to distill down an event in one image usually, and maybe with a few words, and get across something. It's difficult. And so I sweat it every day until the last moment, and I've been doing that since I started the job, and I'm just so glad that I arrive every day excited about what I'm going to eventually end up doing.
I want to come back to something you said earlier, which was, you know, if these people got so angry over cartoons, pictures, in other words, to imply that, okay, yes, their point of view, but it's just a cartoon.
Yeah.
But if it were just that, if it had no power, newspapers wouldn't print it. I mean, what would you say to somebody who says, okay, that's a little bit disingenuous, because you want the images to have power. The papers want that.
Yeah, no, cartoons are powerful. I mean, I realize that, but I think, I guess it's almost a comment. That comment was almost, I'm putting it towards myself. And I don't take myself seriously. I feel humbled by this whole thing and being a cartoonist. But at the same time, it's still a cartoon, even though it can be very powerful. And I don't know where I'm going exactly with that. I wasn't trying to demean cartoons at all, because I know that they are powerful. But I guess no one deserves to be killed for an image or for words. That's just abhorrent.
So you are not going to change anything?
No. Except, you know, in the future, every cartoon I do will just be positive, and, you know, there will be no controversy about them. You know, they'll just be pats on the back to politicians, basically. So,
well, the session, the legislative session's just starting. They'll be
thrilled. They are wonderful. They're a wonderful group of those guys. No, I will continue to question authority and look at it with a jaundiced eye.
It sounds like you feel like a little bit awkward thrust into this position with other cartoonists, of sort of being, oh, we are now seen as the crusaders for free speech.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is a little bit. It is a little bit uncomfortable. And
how come?
That's a good question, Dennis. I guess because I'm a person that has this quirky ability. It's like the only thing I'm halfway decent at is drawing and coming up with ideas. And it's almost a lonely kind of job, because I'm the only one in this city that does it. I have other cartoonist friends in different cities and different countries, but we're usually at our newspaper or website, we are the only person doing what we do. So it's a very independent and somewhat lonely job. And so we're kind of behind the scenes. I mean, people know me. They know my work. Some people like me. Some people hate me.
But they might recognize your own caricature of yourself before they'd recognize you.
Yeah,
yourself.
Right. And you know, when I'm out in public, I don't tell people who I am. I just say, hi, I'm Mike. And so in that way, it's sort of a little uncomfortable to suddenly be a symbol for free speech. You know, I'm going to keep doing what I do and trying to do it to the best of my ability without fear, but it's a little strange.
You have just won a huge award from the United Nations, and this is the competition among cartoonists from all over the world, Renan Lurie Award. Tell us a little bit about that, first of all, what it is.
Well, this particular contest, they only want two cartoons. And so I did two that I internationally themed cartoons that I liked.
What were they about?
There still is sort of an uproar over ISIS or ISIL, the terrorist group. There's been worry that they will somehow attack America. And so I drew a picture of the globe, and you're looking down on it, and you see the United States. And on the United States, you see all these little figures either shooting or being shot. Everyone's just killing each other with handguns. And then off to the side in another country in the Middle East, I just have a couple of ISIS members and one of them saying, no need to attack America, kind of doing it to ourselves. And then another one I did that I liked was a cartoon, what are terrorists most afraid of, Islamic terrorists most afraid of? And then it was smart bombs, and you see these smart bombs flying over, and then, or B, smart girls, and you see educated young Muslim women, books in hand, going heading to a school. So that was the one that won first place. And then the ISIS cartoon got an honorable mention. So it was kind of neat to have won that award.
Mike Lukovich has won a Pulitzer Prize or two in his day, and now he has won an international award from the United Nations for his cartoons, which you can see in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and on myajc.com.
Can I also mention one thing?
Yeah.
You know, people can find me on Facebook and Twitter as well. So if you send me a friend request on Facebook, you'll be able to see my cartoons every day that way.
Mike Lukovich, thanks so much for this time. We really appreciate it, and congratulations.
Thank you, Dennis.